Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining me now is Omoyele Sowore, who is a human rights and pro-democracy campaigner. He is the founder and publisher of the much-cited SaharaReporters.com, a website of citizen journalism which supplies videos, photos, news stories, and commentaries that expose official corruption and abuse in Nigeria's government. Welcome to Background Briefing, Omoyele Sowore.
Thank you for having me.
And over this weekend, there have been demonstrations all around the world, in Los Angeles, in New York, in London, around the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls. Various signs were held up, Bring Them Home, Not For Sale, and African Lives Matter. There's also, of course, a sit-in protest underway in Abuja, organized by dozens of mothers and women in support of the release of these young women. There's 223 schoolgirls are still held by Boko Haram out of the 276 girls that were seized on April the 14th. So this certainly doesn't cast the Nigerian government in a particularly good light, does it? The fact that they, one, were helpless to stop this kidnapping that went on for a long time, and two, they don't seem to have any plans or any ability to get the girls back.
Well, that's correct. Also, the Nigerian government actually did not react to this kidnapping until it became a major global scandal in which groups and individuals were protesting outside of Nigeria. I travel on the ground to Nigeria on a regular basis, and I was in Nigeria until last Saturday, and there was no sign in Nigeria of any concern for the plight of these girls until I got back to the United States and started hearing a lot of loud protests and noises from celebrities and individuals saying, bring back the girls. And I was shocked that there was nothing on the ground in Abuja, where I was for 2 days, concerning the plight of the girls.
Well, you have your problems with the Nigerian government and also with Boko Haram, the Islamist, I guess you can call them fanatics. I mean, they're against the translation of their name is Western education is sinful. They believe that women should stay at home and serve their men and not get educated. And Boko Haram have threatened to bomb your headquarters of your offices of Sahara Reporters in New York. And I take it the Nigerian government, you've also upset them. Do you have to sort of sneak into the country? Is that how you get in?
Absolutely. The best way to describe it in a very funny way is that because of the nation of acrimony and enmity against our style of reporting, we had to create our own airport to get into Nigeria and out of Nigeria. But it's understood because we speak truth to society, and this means speaking truth to government and non-state actors like Boko Haram, where we've exposed a lot of their tactics. But it is very sad that despite our efforts and work and revelations about their activities, the government has done nothing about them. But we've also exposed the atrocious corruption by the Nigerian government that has been fueling not only Boko Haram Islamic militancy in the north, but it's also, don't forget, some kind of militancy in the south as well against oil companies, the kidnapping in several parts of Nigeria's, you know, organized crime all over the place. So this has been the kind of work we do that naturally gets Nigerian government upset against us, and naturally gets non-state actors like Boko Haram, who have been exploiting the lack of, you know, governance in Nigeria, as well against us. So it's true. It's a very tough job, because each time we do our jobs very well, we offend both state actors and non-state actors.
Well, it would seem, though, that this government, which is corrupt, amazingly so, there was a recent case of the head of the Nigerian Central Bank who discovered that some, $30 million were missing, $30 billion were missing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and instead of investigating the Nigerian State Oil Company for its embezzlement or this lack of transparency, shall we say, he got fired, the central banker. And in terms of dealing with this kidnapping of these schoolgirls, all the Nigerian government done so far is set up a committee presided over by an army general. So what did the president, Jonathan Goodluck, say in his address to the Nigerian nation tonight in Nigeria?
I don't know what he's going to say, but I'm not expecting anything new. I think all of it is reactive. They're reacting to public pressure. They're reacting to international social media and media pressure. And typically when he does his media chats, he does with pre-selected journalists around the world, I mean around the country, who ask him, you know, predetermined questions. And, of course, there are predetermined answers. We have applied several times to use social media to participate in this press media chats, and we've been denied all the times we applied because we want to be able to use Skype, for example, to participate and ask them questions, and they won't allow us. So this is and to talk about the former governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria. Last night, he was prevented from traveling to Saudi Arabia to observe Lesser Hajj because he's still a thorn on the side of President Jonathan and his corrupt TV elites, including the Minister of Petroleum Resources, who have been involved, who the Central Bank governor indicted directly, exposed directly, revealed directly, have been involved in stealing billions of dollars. So, you know, they didn't like him because he came up with his revelations, and they're yet to address the revelations. They're covering it up.
So he was denied exit from the country to go to
last night. Yeah, to on our website, sarahreporters.com, yeah.
To the pilgrimage
in Saudi Arabia. Yes,
in Saudi Arabia. Now again, I'm speaking with Omoyele Sowore, who is a human rights and pro-democracy campaigner. He's the founder and publisher of the much-cited SaharaReporters.com, a website of citizen journalism which supplies videos, photos, news stories, and commentaries that expose official corruption and abuse in Nigeria's government. Now, Nigeria will be hosting the World Economic Summit on Africa in a few days, right? And the,
yes.
The Chinese leader is heading there. What kind of security guarantees is this government able to provide, given the rash of bombings from Boko Haram, not to mention, of course, the kidnapping of the girls?
Well, I don't think anybody who is serious about security would, you know, we go to Nigeria for this World Economic Forum, or Africa's Davos, as they call it. But it is the reason why they are even reacting at all to the kidnapping of the girls. As I speak with you, already this morning the president met with, after 19 days or 20 days, met with the principal of the high school where the girls were abducted. And this is part of the pressure that they are reacting to from the rest of the world, because they want to seriously have this economic forum to show that somehow Nigeria, having rebased the economy, is doing well economically. But that is meant for the businessmen outside. It's meant for people who are interested in telling lies about the Nigerian economy. But for the average Nigerian person, they know this is all a scam. In 2 weeks, there have been bombing of a major bus station in Abuja, same place, maybe like 10 meters apart. And so if you're flying into Abuja, I wish you good luck. I think, going by the way they operate, they will secure the airport. They will secure the, you know, conference venue, and they might have a successful conference. But if anybody is fooled by the outcome of such very, very well choreographed, deceptive feeling that Nigeria is safe because a conference successfully took place in Abuja, then of course they need to seriously examine their brains.
So, Amoye, Sawari, tell me then what, I mean, Secretary of State Kerry spoke out about these kidnapped girls in a speech in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. He said, let me be clear, the kidnapping of hundreds of children by Boko Haram is an unconscionable crime. So maybe some of those kind of statements have got the Nigerian government on the defensive. And tonight in Nigeria, President Goodluck Jonathan is going to address the nation, but I don't know that he's going to offer very much. My understanding is that the girls, first of all, this kidnapping took place over many hours, and nothing was done about it. It makes you wonder about the security services' competence. And then they drove these convoys of trucks back and forth as they took these girls. Some of the girls managed to escape and run into the bush. But my understanding is that most of the girls have been taken across the border into Cameroon. Is that your understanding?
You know, there's a lot of reporting about what's happening. Nobody knows exactly what's happening, but we are sufficiently close enough to some of these atrocities in terms of being citizen reporters, and we create citizen reports from across Nigeria, especially these militants. The militants have no reason to panic to take the split together apart. They have a functioning camp. They have like a garrison where they operate from. And the military guys know them. And they have also released videos upon videos showing that they are not on the run. It is the Nigerian military that's on the run. So they have no reason to actually spread the girls. And from what we have heard from the girls, some of the girls that escaped that we spoke to, including from a Nigerian senator yesterday, they are all in the same camp. In fact, one of the girls said she was allowed to leave because she told one of the militants that she was the only daughter of her parents. And they said, oh, yeah, you can go. So the Boko Haram militants have no reason because they're very, very comfortably in charge of the militancy. They're in charge of the atrocities they commit. They're comfortable in their skin, in their tough, in their bones. They have no reason to split the girls apart. They have a place where they operate from inside of Nigeria. The leader of Boko Haram said last week that he often comes to Abuja, that's the federal capital, and leaves. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. So what most of what you're reading about, the girls being split and being separated and being disrupted all over the world, is not exactly true. I think a lot of it is just speculative. They have no reason to be afraid of the Nigerian military. And the Nigerian military has shown that they are afraid of Boko Haram as opposed to the opposite.
Well, I have heard reports that Boko Haram is protected at the highest level within the Nigerian government. Is that your understanding?
I would think that they enjoy some high-level protection and patronage. I think Boko Haram has political, it has economic and cultural and religious connotation and also ideological connotations. There is no way Nigeria would be having the kind of audacious militancy that Boko Haram has offered without protection or support or patronage at the highest levels. You know, just to make it, to break it down very easily, it was the same way the Niger Delta militants enjoyed the highest level protection when they were blowing up pipelines and kidnapping people and killing soldiers in the Niger Delta region until they came to a dialogue, an agreement that, you know, they would also be part of sharing the Nigerian loot. And the moment that agreement was reached between them and the highest level of government, the militancy just subsided. And a few Niger Delta militants that tried to revive the Niger Delta militancy were crushed immediately because the understanding of the main militants and their backers at the highest level was that, you know, Niger Delta militancy was over. So I would believe that something similar is happening with Boko Haram.
So, in other words, they're putting pressure on the government to make a deal so that they can join in the stealing of the treasury.
Absolutely. You can just quickly learn from what the Niger militant, Delta militants are doing now. Some of the richest guys in Nigeria in the last 2 years were former militants who were engaged in kidnapping, killing, abduction, and sabotage of Nigerian oil infrastructure. They're doing very well now. Some of them even have private jets.
So these are the MEND terrorists, are they? MEND?
Absolutely. Some of them MEND. They had different AKs. Yeah.
Well, Omoyele Sowore, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and hope to talk to you in the future.
Again, I've been speaking with Omoyele Sowore, who is a human rights and pro-democracy campaigner. He is the founder and publisher of the much-cited SaharaReporters.com, a website of citizen journalism which supplies videos, photos, news stories, and commentaries that expose official corruption and abuse in Nigeria's government. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. The headline written down.